Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. I will be presenting on a secondary data analysis I did as part of my MPH special project on factors associated with consistent condom use, abstinence, and number of sexual partners among adolescents in Malawi. Everyone knows that in sub-Saharan Africa, HIV/AIDS is very prevalent. I think the statistic actually Dr. Bull had on her slide as well, that 67% of all HIV cases worldwide are there. In Malawi specifically, they have the ninth highest prevalence of HIV/AIDS in the world, and adolescent females have a prevalence of 8.4 per 1,000, and males have a prevalence of 2.4 per 1,000. Adolescent health is of great public health significance because early behavior carries on into adulthood. Behavioral interventions are crucial, so programs must be designed to efficiently utilize resources and have the greatest impact on adolescent behavior. Our research question was, do associations exist between adolescent sexual practices and demographics to HIV/AIDS outcomes? Our objectives were to understand HIV transmission knowledge, personal experiences with HIV or AIDS, HIV risk perception, demographic variables, and to examine if these associations exist between the answers to the above questions and consistent condom use, secondary abstinence, and one lifetime sexual partner. This data set was from the National Survey of Adolescents, which was conducted in Malawi in 2004. 4,879 adolescents between the ages of 12 to 19 participated. And this survey is available through the University of Michigan Inter-University Consortium for Political and Social Research. They maintain an online database of publicly accessible data sets. And on a side note, I actually saw they have a booth upstairs in the exhibit hall, so if you're interested. Frequencies, odds ratios, and 95% confidence intervals were determined. The outcome variables were consistent condom use, secondary abstinence, and one lifetime sexual partner. The definition of consistent condom use was using a condom at each intercourse. Adolescents practicing secondary abstinence are different from sexually inexperienced adolescents because they have had sex, but they're different from recently sexually active adolescents because they have not had sex in the last 12 months. In reading the literature, these adolescents usually may have sex once and then they become worried about females getting pregnant or for males or females getting an STD or maybe their parents finding out, so then they stop having sex. The predictor variables for the outcomes of consistent condom use and one sexual partner were HIV risk perception, knowing someone with HIV or AIDS, knowing someone who died of AIDS, and HIV/AIDS transmission knowledge, and the demographics, age, gender, education level, currently attending school, and rural urban residents. The predictor variables for the outcome of secondary abstinence were HIV risk perception and highest education level attended. These predictors are different from this outcome because some of the other predictors for the other two outcomes have already been researched with this outcome in this data set. Some of the responses to the questions were yes, no, or don't know. We recategorized don't know as no. For the question, what is the highest level of education you have attended, the possible responses were primary, secondary, or higher. Because so few adolescents had answered higher, we recategorized them as secondary. Currently married adolescents, those who were HIV positive and those who had never had sex were excluded from the analysis. And the HIV transmission knowledge questions were selected based on previously published research. They were, one, can the virus that causes AIDS be transmitted from mother to child? And two, is it possible for a healthy-looking person to have the AIDS virus? Some characteristics of the study population, only 8% of adolescents were consistent condom users. 73% of adolescents did not have sex in the previous 12 months. And the percentage of adolescents who had one lifetime partner versus more than one was approximately even. 57% answered both selected HIV/AIDS transmission knowledge questions correctly, and 44% of adolescents knew someone with HIV or AIDS, and 70% knew someone who had died of AIDS. And in the question how do you perceive your HIV risk to be? It was, the possible answers were great, moderate, small, and no risk. And adolescents tended to pick one of the responses on either end of the spectrum. So I think 37% thought they were at great risk, and 47% thought they were at no risk, while a small minority were in the middle. 46% were 12 to 14 years old, 36% were 15 to 17 years old, and 18% were 18 to 19 years old. Males and females were evenly divided. 86% had their highest level of education as primary school, 77% were currently in school, and 76% lived in a rural residence. So for the first outcome, the significant predictors, the first one was adolescents who knew someone with HIV or AIDS were 1.84 times more likely to be consistent condom users compared to adolescents who did not know someone with HIV or AIDS. The two oldest adolescent age groups were less likely. We have 0.37 as the odds ratio for 15 to 17 years old, and 0.35 for 18 to 19 years old compared to 12 to 14 years old. So they were less likely to be consistent condom users. Males were less likely to be consistent condom users, and adolescents whose highest education level was primary were also less likely to consistently use condoms. For the outcome of secondary abstinence, adolescents who perceived themselves to have a no or small risk of contracting HIV were more likely to be practice secondary abstinence compared to adolescents who perceived themselves to be at moderate risk. And a great risk was not associated in this. For the outcome of one sexual partner versus more than one sexual partner, the oldest adolescent age group, 18 to 19 years olds, were less likely to have had only one partner compared to the referent group of 12 to 14 years old. Males were also less likely to have only one partner. And adolescents who were currently in school were 1.51 times more likely to have had one partner compared to adolescents who were not in school. The predictors that were not associated, consistent condom use, HIV transmission knowledge, personally knowing someone who died of AIDS, HIV risk perception, whether or not adolescent was attending school, and residence type were not associated with consistent condom use. For the second outcome, highest education level attended was not associated. For the third outcome, HIV transmission knowledge, personally knowing someone with HIV or AIDS, knowing someone who died of AIDS, HIV risk perception, highest education level attended, and residence type were not significantly associated. The limitations of this study, it's a secondary analysis of cross-sectional data, so causality, incidence, and changes over time cannot be measured. And adolescents may have underreported socially unacceptable behavior and overreported socially desirable behavior. So in conclusion, age, gender, knowing someone with HIV or AIDS, HIV risk perception, and school attendance are strongly associated with sexual behavior among adolescents. In this group, because so many changes are occurring with each year and between the genders, intervention programs should be tailored to specific age and gender. Based on the finding that adolescents who knew someone with HIV or AIDS were more likely to consistently use condoms, people from the community could be incorporated into intervention programs to kind of, adolescents tend to have the idea that it'll happen to them, but it'll never happen to me. So maybe if they see someone and they talk to someone who looks like them and is maybe similar in age to them and has HIV, it'll make more of an impact. And programs need to target adolescents who are not in school. Lastly, I'd like to acknowledge my co-author and professor, Dr. Aurora Sanchez Anguiano. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. Any questions? Well, I would like to open the, yes.
So do you know if the data set had a question about concurrency? So they asked the number of partners, but did they ask whether or not they were concurrent or sequential partners? Do you know?
They would ask, they started with, tell us about like your first sexual experience. Was a condom used? You know, what was the age of that person? And they kind of went forward in time. But as far as about number, I don't think they asked that question. But I do have a survey, you know, a PDF of it, so I'd be more than happy to email it to you, and it's all publicly available as well.
Was there another question from the panel? Okay. I would like to, yes, in the back? No. I would like to open for an open discussion and to give another opportunity to the panel members to, if they want to say something additional, especially Carrie and Dr. Bull, that I kind of run them off, and my apologies. I was trying to be so punctual. Would you like to add anything else to your project, what you presented? Sure. Come over and so when you ask the question, make sure that everybody hears the question.
My first question was for Andrew. I was really happy to see the very high condom use that you reported in Ethiopia. If I remember correctly, it was about 75%, which in my mind sticks out as sort of an anomaly. So I was wondering if you could maybe elaborate if there were particular programs that were happening in that district or something that may have lent themselves to that positive outcome, even before your intervention. And then for Dr. Bull, I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on how the intervention you described will be administered. You know, I wasn't sure if it was like in the context of a boarding school, and maybe they have access to computers, or if it's internet-based, or I'd just be interested in sort of the logistics. So, thank you.
Sure, great question. So I'll answer the question about this sample of young men that had. I believe it was 40% of them were sexually experienced, and of that 40%, 75% of those sexually experienced were using condoms. These were young men who were engaged in youth clubs in Ethiopia that were sort of youth development centers. The main reason why these young men come here is because it's a place to hang out and read. There's usually books there. So that's what HIWAT does. But certainly, in many of them, they've sort of gotten basic HIV prevention information. The idea of this intervention that was different is that it was sort of looking at these underlying constructions about what it means to be a man and reflect on those. So I think that might account for some of the differential between their current condom use and perhaps some national averages. Although I wasn't the researcher on this, so I don't have any comparison data from like a DHS that would show what adolescent condom use was, but I would think was 75% around the world, we'd be in a much better place.
And was it a particular geographic, was it one particular region?
Yeah, this was carried out in a low-income urban area in Addis Ababa, in the main capital city in Ethiopia.
Thank you. To your question about the CyberSync program, it was designed...
Excuse me, can you all hear?
Yes.
So the question about where it's intended to be delivered, the trial that's going to roll out in the early spring 2011 is designed to be carried out in computer labs in secondary schools, so the equivalent of our high school in the U.S. And in Embarada, many of the boarding schools that we're working with have extensive computer labs. So arguably, does that reach the demographic that may be at highest risk? Probably not. What we want to do after the trial then is disseminate it more widely to the internet cafes, and we're in conversation with the internet cafe owners to compensate them for the internet time that would be needed. It's a very low bandwidth program the way it's designed, so that it doesn't take a lot of time to load. But we could get it preloaded on machines in all the internet cafes, and there's a new one every time we go back. But now, the last time I was there, there were 8 internet cafes in a city of about 45,000 in Embarada. So that would be our next step, to see if we can get the internet cafe owners to get on board, allow us to be in there and kind of compensate them for the internet time that the young people would have to have.
No more questions, no more comments. Well, I want to thank each one of the panel members for the excellent presentations, and an applause for all of them. Okay, thank you very much for being here.